Hello, I'm Gary Stevens. Welcome to Lion of Judah Online, the ministry that trains and equips the believer to do the work of the ministry in the body of Christ. Today's subject is Hope and the Anointing Factor, Part 21. And the topic we're dealing with today within the subject is called Abraham and His Hope in Isaac. Before we go any further, let's just once again talk about hopelessness. What is the definition of hopelessness? Hopelessness does not come from a lack of money, a lack of education, or a lack of opportunity. It is caused by being without Christ Jesus, without the Word of God, and the anointing of God in your life, and not factoring in or considering or taking into consideration the anointing, which is the supernatural power of God that destroys the yoke and removes the burden of bondage of any situation or any problem in our life. Today we're going to talk about Abraham, which is a classic example of real Bible hope versus worldly hope or wishing. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 9. Reading, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And he said, Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men or servants with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes, and saw the place there far off. And Abraham said to his young men, or his servants, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go up yonder and worship, and we will come back to see you, or we will come back to you. Genesis chapter 22, verses 6 to 9. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but there is no lamb for the burnt offering. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there, and he placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son." We read further in the scriptures that God actually stopped Abraham from killing his son Isaac by an angel, and God actually provided a ram for the burnt sacrifice. But the question comes to mind, why was Abraham so convinced to slay his son when God had given him promises before? Why was Abraham so convinced that he would offer up his son as a sacrifice to God? The reason is Abraham received a hope, an inner image, a promise from God to raise up his son even if he was dead. And we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 to 19, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, In Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figure." We see further in the Word of God that Abraham had God's sworn oath that he would be the father of many nations, and that could only happen if Isaac was alive. Abraham also had a covenant with God, and we read that in Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to verse 8. "When Abraham was 90 years of old, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of many nations." Please understand what it says there. "And you shall be the father of many nations." Verse 5, "No longer shall your name be called Abram, your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of many nations." Verse 6, And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I will give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. In this classic example, Abraham had God sworn out that he would be the father of many nations. In verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 11, we see Abraham received Isaac raised up in a hope, an inner vision. Something had already happened on the inside of Abraham. He expected Isaac to be raised up from the dead by God to fulfill his promise. Abraham already had an inner image or a Bible hope of the promise of God before God asked him to take up Isaac and offer him on the altar. And we see this in Genesis chapter 22, verse 5. It actually says, "And Abraham said to his young men," or the servants, "stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go up yonder and worship, and we'll come back to see you." What does this mean? It means that Abraham had a covenant with Almighty God, and this covenant promised that he would be the father of many nations, and this could only happen with Isaac being alive. Abraham believed God no matter what the situation was, even when he had to offer up his own son as a sacrifice. Abraham had a covenant with God, an agreement with God. We today, as born-again believers in the New Testament, we also have a covenant with Almighty God. And the covenant is through Jesus Christ back into Abraham. Our promises are greater, are bigger through Christ Jesus. And Jesus is the surety of that word coming to pass. He is the high priest over that word, over that confession. Let me now go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 12. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk therein. Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh," in other words, you were not born again, "you who are called uncircumcised, but that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." What are these scriptures actually talking about? It says that when you were not born again, you were without Christ and his anointing. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You're not part of God's family. You were strangers or did not understand or know the promises of God and the word of God. And that meant you were without God, having no hope and in the world. But now, as a born again believer, you are with Christ and his anointing. You are no longer aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You are part of God's family. You are no longer strangers from the covenants of promise or the promises of God or the word of God. You have hope and you are with God in the world. Bible hope is different to worldly hope. The hope in the world is basically wishing. I'm hoping that it will happen. The hope of the gospel is a certainty because the Bible says that God watches over his word to perform it. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the surety or the guarantee of that coming to pass. We have a part to play, to believe the promise of God, to establish that in our inner man, in our imagination, and then to believe for it and confess it out of our mouth. It comes out of our mouth with faith, and that comes to pass. Jesus is watching over that word to make it happen. Thank you for listening today, and God bless.